1420 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Christopher Cruz in the Washington Bureau. New York Republican Congressman George Santos is expected to be arraigned this afternoon on fraud charges. He's being held in a federal courthouse on Long Island, says CBS's Scott McFarlane.
The feds are alleging that he wasn't being honest or accurate with his campaign filings. There's also allegations about what he did with unemployment money. That's taxpayer-funded subsidies for the unemployed. The feds are alleging that he was employed and taking the unemployment money. Then there are allegations from Nassau County, from the U.S. attorney. There's a lot of different parties to this. We know he's being processed and prosecuted by the feds, but that doesn't preclude the possibility of more coming at the local level or more federal charges later.
The federal government is preparing for the expiration of a pandemic-era border policy at midnight. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas.
We are in the process of surging personnel to the border, including more than 1,400 DHS personnel, 1,000 processing coordinators, and an additional 1,500 Department of Defense personnel.
Officials fear a surge of migrants when the so-called Title 42 expires. Inflation slowed last month, but it was a mixed bag, says CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
You may want to stick to a used car after all. Used car prices down 6.6% from a year ago. A new car, 5.5% higher than a year ago. Energy prices were down 5.1% from a year ago, led lower by gas.
The consumer price index has now fallen for 10 straight months. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says the recent chokehold death of a homeless man on a subway car shows that legislation is needed to give officials more options as they deal with the mentally ill.
They are a danger to themselves. The state has the authority to intervene. The bill would also make it crystal clear to our hospitals that a person should not be released from psychiatric care simply because they have calmed down and appear stable in the moment.
Some help is coming for victims of the train derailment in eastern Ohio that forced thousands from their homes for several days. CBS's Jim Krasula.
The Norfolk Southern Railroad will set up a fund for residents of East Palestine, Ohio, to offset the loss of home values after a train derailment 2 months ago. Some of the train cars spilled hazardous chemicals into nearby waterways. Federal authorities have filed a lawsuit against the railroad over environmental damage.
An FDA advisory committee has endorsed the over-the-counter sale of a decade-old birth control pill. The Dow is down 230 points at this hour. This is CBS News.
Today, better nutrition and great taste are more important than ever. That's why Eggland's Best gives you and your family more. And that's healthy news for everyone. Only Eggland's Best.
I'm Dr. Stork. Eggs are a staple in our diets, and there's only one egg with more delicious farm-fresh taste plus superior nutrition. Eggland's Best. With more vitamins, including 6 times more vitamin D and 10 times more vitamin E, plus 25% less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. Available in so many delicious varieties, classic, cage-free, and organic. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
With your choice of select sandwich, nugs, fries, and a drink, Wendy's $5 Biggie Bag is your go-to. Your nugget wingman. Your hot and crispy fry co-pilot.
Just like us. We're like the bag boys.
What?
Bag boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when we bring your food?
For a deal you can count on, bet on Biggie and choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
Bag boys.
U.S. price and participation may vary. Includes choice of double stacked JBC or crispy chicken sandwich with 4-piece nugs, junior fry, and small soft drink. Third-party delivery pricing may be higher.
Saluting Vets is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Navy Captain Reed Weissman can't contain his excitement. He will be one of 4 astronauts aboard Artemis II on NASA's first trip to the moon in more than 50 years.
We've spent our entire lives looking up at the moon, and now we're going to go out there and look back at Earth from that same distance. That is crazy.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Kids from Wisconsin will perform in Wisconsin Rapids this summer. the traveling show choir troupe celebrates their 55th summer season at the Performing Arts Center on July 10th. Lou Zong of Wisconsin Rapids is spending his second summer with kids from Wisconsin and beyond excited to be performing with the organization in his hometown. Their show, Starstruck, will be at the PAC Monday, July 10th at 7 p.m. Visit SavorTheArts.org for more information and to purchase tickets to the show. Newly elected State Senator Dan Knodel will serve as chair of the Senate Shared Revenue Elections and Consumer Protection Committee. It was announced on Tuesday. Knodel, who represents Wisconsin's 8th Senate District, signed onto a letter urging former Vice President Mike Pence to delay certifying the 2020 presidential results. Knodel replaces longtime Senator Alberta Darling, who retired late last year. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. High of 78 this afternoon under partly cloudy skies, southerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies, tonight lows level off around 52. Tomorrow, highs level off around 79. 76 Friday with a chance for scattered showers. 71 Saturday, chance for showers continues. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 75.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news talk and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
So are Republican lawmakers for election security? Or is that just a bunch of hearsay, a bunch of hot air?
I like how the article notes that Republicans killed it without debate, despite the fact that it was a bipartisan plan.
Yeah. But it came in the Evers budget proposal. It had to get killed. They had to remove it from the chopping block. It was going to be gone.
It reminds me of that. I forgot what bill it was for, but in a few years ago, Mitch McConnell proposed something. And then when the Democrats decided to go along with it, he vetoed it himself.
Like he voted like, against wait. It? Yeah.
He voted against it.
I can't remember the specifics, but yes.
So it was like all of a sudden, oh, wait, now Democrats actually do want this? No. I was just kidding. Then I didn't want that. I didn't mean that. Like, it's the their entirety is making the libs cry. Right?
It's the politics of being a contrarian. If you're always just against what somebody else is for, you're going to find yourself in this position a lot that the elected Republican lawmakers are in here in Wisconsin. They claim to want to bolster elections, but then they will not fund the initiatives put forth by Governor Tony Evers. They claim to be for renewing faith in our electoral process, Will. But then you got individuals like Congressman Brian Steil. We haven't talked about him in a little while. It's been a minute. There's been some crazier headlines around Wisconsin. And apparently, Brian Steil, I don't know if this is the motivation behind the move, Will, but he's hiring somebody that worked a part of the fraudulent electors. Oh, wait, not hiring. He's already hired. This person is already on his hired. Team. Mm-hmm. Already has got a pretty cushiony salary to go with this position as well. But a member of the campaign staff for former President Donald Trump in Arizona and New Mexico for 2020 and 2021 was now hired by the committee that Brian Steil chairs. And so somebody that was working, being paid to overthrow and part of that fraudulent elector scheme, which again is back in the headlines, a Wisconsin judge here in Dane County voted to renew the complaints against the fraudulent electors in Wisconsin because one of those fraudulent electors happens to serve on the Wisconsin Elections Commission and got to vote in that vote overseeing whether or not the commission would sanction those 10 fraudulent electors here in Wisconsin. But this staffer...
Yeah, boy, that's a predicament, huh?
Yeah. This staffer is still... He was working on that scheme in 2020 and 2021 for the same end goal, the same plot that was hatched in 2020 to try to overturn the electoral votes in several different swing states, including Wisconsin, including Arizona, and including Georgia and others. And so this staffer worked to overturn the election results in one of the states and is now being employed by the committee in the House of Representatives that is looking to oversee the restoring of faith in our elections, Will. Mm-hmm. It is so wild that you would think that this was a plot written up in a writer's room somewhere, but it is literally... You couldn't write this. It is happening in front of our eyes that these people that attempted to overthrow democracy in 2020 and 2021 are now overseeing the process to restore faith in our elections, Will.
Truth is stranger than fiction, Luke. I can't help but laugh as well that Style...
I know what you're about to go to. Yeah.
Yeah, so he labeled the staffer, quote, a junior staffer. Those are his words, not mine, in an effort, I think, to kind of distance the impact that this individual is going to have. You know, oh, they're just helping out with something. Almost like when a company says, like, oh, well, they're just an intern. Don't worry about what they're doing. It's not, you know, anything that they do or say that's bad.
It was George Papadopoulos. His last name escapes me right now. But the guy that was just chalked up as a coffee boy.
He's just a coffee boy.
Yeah, exactly. For the Trump campaign. Yes. Same defense.
You're distancing the questionable behavior that you were participating in from, you know, you as an individual by saying it was some rogue low-level staffer or whatever, but they're paying this individual $155,000 salary. So again, if anybody's listening and they have a very junior coffee boy role and they're willing to pay me $150,000 a year, please hit me up because that would be great.
You do it at a discount, Will. You do it for like $120,000.
Dude, I'll do it for $100,000. Yeah, sign me up, especially if we're on the Wisconsin Republican legislative schedule. Like, that's 2 months of work for $100,000, please. But he went on to add, The election integrity efforts that we're working on is making it easy to vote and hard to cheat. What he did for a previous employer, I don't think is terribly relevant when he was in his young 20s. Excuse me, this was 2020.
This was two years ago.
2 and 3 years ago, dude. Like you can't use the excuse, oh, he was a young man, he didn't know what he was doing, when this was literally a couple of years ago. This is still a young man, still in his young 20s.
Yes, you're reading from a piece written up by Lawrence Andrea over the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Headline, yes. Wisconsin U.S. Representative Brian Stiles' committee tasked with election oversight hires an ex-Trump campaign aide tied to the fake elector scheme. And yeah, it's a pretty damning excuse that you're like, oh, well, it was just a mistake he made. And this is like public now, like, the scheme to overthrow the election unfolded right before all of our eyes. We witnessed it happen. We saw them attempt to deliver fake electors on January 6th. We saw the insurrection that then took place because the fraudulent elector scheme did not work, and Donald Trump sicked his mob of supporters onto Congress on January 6th, 2021. We watched it happen. And the whitewashing, the cleansing away of that scheme, that plot, and the individuals that participated and looked to advance it is just terrible. And it is an indictment on the current judicial system that these individuals have not been held accountable. Now we've seen 8 fraudulent electors taking plea deals down in Georgia, where the Fulton County District Attorney is working through the process of a grand jury on possible criminal indictments. Those 8 fraudulent electors, I'm assuming they got immunity deals if there were bigger fish to fry. And there is hopes that there is movement on this, but the fact that there has not yet been accountability, these individuals are going to be getting jobs all over the place. One of the Wisconsin fraudulent electors went and worked on U.S. Senator Ron Johnson's re-election campaign last November. All of these individuals are still involved in politics. Accountability needs to be had. And for years now...
It's the revolving door, Luke.
Yes.
We talk about it all the time in regards to lobbying, but it's the same concept.
And Republicans have decried that they want increased security and they want increased sanitation and public view of our election process. And they've claimed there's widespread fraud, and they haven't provided any widespread fraud. They didn't cry it when Ron Johnson won re-election in 2022. That was a conveniently held proper election. Nothing to look at there.
It's not like they didn't look either. Remember, they spent $2 million of taxpayer money trying to find fraud.
Yes. And then when the governor says, okay, this is how we can help improve our election officials around the state of Wisconsin, we can invest, we can make our elections more secure. Let's do this. It's got bipartisan support. It is one of more than 500 proposals stripped out of his budget. Non-starter, no debate, just one clean vote, 545 provisions gone. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter, joining me on a Wednesday afternoon. You can join us as well. Share your tangents with us. You can call or text 844-967-2789. Dueling Tangents is going to be right back.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Here's what's happening. WFHR Community Calendar is brought to you by Something Sweet, Swiftwater Ice Cream. Enjoy the guilt-free, no-fat, no-sugar scooped ice cream and the 32 flavors of Cedar Crest. And don't forget their made-to-order appetizers. It'll leave your taste buds dancing. Family-owned and operated and open daily from noon until 9 p.m. Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, or find them on Facebook.
Support your local veterans organizations, the Veterans of Foreign Wars Post 2534 and Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 101 by participating in their Brat Fry at Quality Foods, 1021 West Grand Avenue from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on May 13th. Join Dr. Sebastian Zamfir from UW-Stevens Point, who will share a presentation on astronomy followed by a unique stargazing experience using the latest optical technology at the Stanton W. Meade Wildlife Area from 8:30 to 10 p.m. on Saturday, June 13th. It's free and open to the public, and no registration is required.
Trying to lose weight and get healthy naturally? Stoiber Healthcare can help.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 8 weeks eating real food without dangerous drugs or exercise. Call Stoiber Healthcare at 715-424-4646 for a free consultation today.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
With daytime highs approaching 76, southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tonight, 50. Mainly sunny tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 77. Turning cooler Friday and Saturday with highs in the upper 60s. Scattered showers possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 72 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Luke Mathers, you are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to follow the show after this little 2 o'clock hour we've got, you can do so online at Dueling Tangents. If you miss any portion of any previous shows, you can go check out the podcast of each and every edition of Dueling Tangents. Head over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. You can go to the show page, click on Dueling Tangents. You can see all past editions. You can also find us on wherever you get your podcasts, either Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, so many different platforms to get podcasts. Just search Dueling Tangents and we'll pop up. But I'm joined on a Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. And Will, we're discussing the for lack of better terms, hypocrisy, really, of elected Republican officials here in Wisconsin. Because they claim to be for election integrity. But we've got members of Congress that are hiring former campaign staff that worked to overturn the 2020 election results in Arizona, working for the committee now to restore election integrity. We've got state lawmakers.
Conflict of interest, question mark?
Yeah, right? You would think that would be if, hey, we're looking, this committee's goals are to restore faith in elections. Oh, you participated in attempting to overthrow an election? Oh, I'm so sorry. That is a disqualifier to work on this committee.
That would be one of the very few disqualifiers that even Republican elected officials would.
But
would
not
stand
the case.
By.
Not the case. There are individuals, Republican members of Congress and state legislatures around the country now that use that of where their stance is on 2020. It's still the polling on this changes all the time, but there's constantly polls of asked of Republican voters. Do you believe Donald Trump won the election in 2020? And it's still like 60% of Republican voters believe that Trump won in 2020. And so it's almost, it is disgusting. But the concept of the 2020 election as a sticking point for some of these campaign staffers moving up through their political careers is absolutely tied to who won the 2020 election. And if you answer truthfully, if you say, well, President Joe Biden won the election in 2020 to become president, that is a bad mark. That is a blemish on your resume if you're a Republican staffer. It shouldn't be.
It's a scarlet letter because it represents essentially disloyalty, I think. Even if behind closed doors they all recognize this to be the truth, the forward-facing message that the party is trying to push out is that this is what happened, this is what we need our base to believe. And if you stand up against that and say, well, no, that's not what happened, you're failing to fall in line, and that's not very good for, just like we talked about last week, an entity that in a lot of ways operates similar to organized crime or the mafia.
Yeah, well, it's a mark against you if you're a Republican staffer. It's also something that's used against you if you are a Republican elected official that's going to attempt to win a statewide primary, because you have to go through a gauntlet of right-wing voters then to get a Republican nomination. That's the case here in Wisconsin. That's the case in, I believe, one of the still most fascinating stories of 2022 to me, Will, is that the most popular governor in the entire country going into in 2022 was the Republican governor from Massachusetts. You would think that he would have been able to go and cakewalk to a second term or third term. I forget what Baker in Massachusetts, how many terms he had served. But you would think that it would have been easy for him to get reelected as the most popular governor in the entire country. And he chose not to run for reelection. And that solely is because he would have had to go through a Republican primary. There were Republicans in Massachusetts that wanted to primary him from the right. And he did not want to go through that process. That is insane. But there are Republican lawmakers now that if they have a position like a member of Congress or a member of the state legislature, they use things like, oh, well, saying that the 2020 election was stolen, again, without any evidence. It has been the most litigated and investigated election, I would say, in the history of the state here in Wisconsin. And there was no proof of widespread voter fraud. There was no proof of election fraud. The only election fraud was the fraudulent electors. The individuals saying that Trump won without any evidence and trying to submit those to the Library of Congress and Vice President, then Vice President Mike Pence.
Well, if you're perpetuating the crime you're accusing the others of committing, I guess, then technically voter fraud did exist. It's just you are the ones doing it.
They would never admit to it like that. But again, that complaint before the Wisconsin Elections Commission is going to be reheard. But maybe Brian Steil, maybe he's trying to position himself for, say, a statewide primary run. Not in 2024, but just in the future, if this is a credential that's always going to be held against him. Somebody that already has out there publicly said that the 2020 election was stolen and was more than happy to try to object to Wisconsin's 10 electoral votes in the congressional proceedings that led up to on January 6th. Tom Tiffany. Sounds like he's letting congressional reporters know, Will, that he may be announcing sometime this summer
I'll take my lap now, Luke.
His bid for potentially U.S. Senate here in Wisconsin in 2024. And when Senator Baldwin announced her decision to seek a third term, we did have a fun little conversation surrounding who we thought may be jumping in. And I think you may be the first correct one, Will, then, with picking Congressman Tom Tiffany from northern Wisconsin.
You know, I'm a big enough person to admit this. You made a compelling argument, and you had started to sway me a little bit. But at the end, I refused to admit that, just in case I ended up being right, so that I could sit here now and you know.
There's still 18 months to go before this election. It is plenty of time. You know, there's other candidates that can announce as well. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. Plenty of time to give us a phone call, 844-967-2789. We're going to jump over to the phone lines coming back from this break, and then we're going to get into some headlines about voter trends in the suburbs. 844
in my neck of the woods, baby.
Yep, give us a call, 844-967-2789. Dueling Tangents, we'll be right back.
I'm a atomic man. The Shaw 101. From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. This weekend is the Children's Festival in Wausau at Marathon Park. The Wausau and Marathon County Parks, Recreations, and Forestry Department is hosting this free event for families and kids. Saturday, May 13th, from 10 to 3, you will find two petting zoos, bouncy houses, and booths with arts, crafts, and activities for kids at the Marathon Park in the Ice Arena. Peyton's Promise will be collecting change at the festival for its Change for Good campaign. A 62-year-old Waukesha man has been arrested and could face charges of disorderly conduct, intimidation of a victim, and false imprisonment after he chased four boys playing Ding Dong Ditch on May 8th. And then forced one of them into his car with the intention of taking him to his parents or the police. Police later found the pair, who didn't know each other, in the parking lot of a Woodman's grocery store. The boy was reunited with his parents. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Burgers stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar and Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with 7 locations statewide. Monk's Bar and Grill is ready for your next game day visit and is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Happy Mother's Day from WFHR and Village Gardens. Celebrate with us by tuning in to the morning show on Friday, May 12th for your chance to win a beautiful flower basket and a $25 gift card from Village Gardens. Make it the best day ever for the best mom ever from your friends at WFHR.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents, kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Having low income can mean making tough choices, choosing between paying for food or medication. Or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps, truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. High of 78 this afternoon under partly cloudy skies, southerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies, tonight lows level off around 52. Tomorrow highs level off around 79. 76 Friday with a chance for scattered showers, 71 Saturday chance for showers continues. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 75.
On the phone lines with your tangents, 844-967-2789. Up first this afternoon, we've got Mark from Prairie du Sac calling in. Mark, what's on your mind this Wednesday afternoon?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I brought this up yesterday on Matt's show, that Section 2 of the 14th Amendment, which comes before the insurrection as part of the whole 14th Amendment, says that it's actually a constitutive violation to abridge the rights of citizens to vote for president of the United States. It was worded back when they passed that, but just for male citizens, you know, over 21. Of course, we've amended the Constitution to include people over 18, all people over 18. So that not only are these Republicans that were involved in the insurrection, which even if you're tangentially involved in that, you're given aid and comfort to that insurrection, for that violation of the Constitution, trying to prevent the peaceful transition of power, for the incoming administration. You're also abridging, so many of them are abridging the rights of citizens to elect the president of the United States or elect the electors that are going to be electing the president of the United States, because it actually refers in there that we, the citizens, under the 14th Amendment, in Section 2, are the ones who are electing, as electors ourselves, we are electing the electors that are going to vote in the Electoral College. So, I mean, these guys are all violating the Constitution of the United States. And under the further terms of the 14th Amendment, as I see it, is that they've got no business being in, you know, that they should be forever barred from being in public office unless they get like three-quarters of the legislature to, of the national legislature, say, oh, it's okay for them to, you know, hold public, any kind of public office at all, period. It's not just, you know, sitting in the Senate or sitting in the House of Representatives. It's any position in civil government at all. And I'm perhaps wrong. I guess I'm still, even though I'm 65 now, I'm just a still a provincial boy from far northern Wisconsin. But my read of the Constitution, the simple English that it was put in, actually means that there's a lot of people that are getting employed by the government in positions of trust and power that really shouldn't be there because they should be held accountable for their actions, you know, during the attempt to overthrow the election of Joe Biden to the presidency.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to, Mark, as well, is we need the accountability. For more than 100 years since the 14th Amendment was passed, there was nobody attempting insurrections against the United States. It seems like this was not a provision that anybody, any lawyers now, I believe, ever had the thought that it would even happen, that it would need to be necessary. And there's a very slow delay in our system reacting to what happened on January 6, 2021, and the events that led up to it.
The system was built on good faith. It assumes that everybody will be acting as such.
Yeah, and social norms. And when those social norms are thrown out, we've seen it, you can lie about your entire resume, get elected to Congress, and then all of a sudden all these rolling stories come out about how, well, you didn't actually go to school where you claim to go to school, you didn't work where you claim to work, your name maybe not even be the name that you go by on the ballot. The name that voters voted for in New York, in the congressional district, that George Santos, if that is his real name, which I believe there's reports out there that it may not be, that he completely lied. He fabricated the persona that was elected to Congress.
And we in the quite past, literally elected a fabricated persona.
A con man.
Kind of hilarious, but also incredibly, incredibly sad.
Yes. And it is a microcosm for where we are now as a nation, for if you remove shame, because I truly believe George Santos is shameless, if you remove shame from the equation, there's little accountability.
That might be an interesting conversation for a future show, Luke, is like, you know, we have now seen what's essentially a fictitious persona get elected to Congress. That's kind of step one of, you know, I'll use the example of AI-generated art right now that's become incredibly popular, right? What happens when we start having like AI-generated personas that get elected to office? and where do we draw the line at that point? How quote-unquote real do you have to be? Because like you just said, we don't know with Santos just how much of his story actually happened or if any of it actually happened. We know significant portions of what he said was completely fabricated. So what differentiates that from, you know, hypothetically just making up a completely fictitious individual and having them?
That seems to be the test example of what's happening right now with George Santos, because now he's
like
been
a shadow corporation makes a robot person, sticks a couple of, you know, social media accounts online to give them a backstory, and they get elected. Like the companies.
Well, today, Congressman George Santos, I believe, gave himself up to authorities in New York, and unsealed were 13 criminal indictments against him. So it will be interesting to see how the system holds George Santos accountable. And yes, he may be a microcosm for the fact that we have lost shame in our politics in recent years, but it's a lot easier to hold one person accountable. It's a lot harder to, for the system at least, on display, we've seen, get accountability for an entire wide-ranging scheme across six or seven states to overturn and circumvent the 2020 election. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents, 844-967-2789. You can share a tangent with us on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. And speaking of elections, a big thing about elections, Will, and we talk about them. We're in politics, news, current events. We're talking about all those things. Predicting what's going to come for which candidates are going to jump into the 2024 U.S. Senate race here in Wisconsin. We talk about all these different headlines. But looking at past trends helps us be able to look to see where things are going. And one of the stories that you found in preparation for today's show is a story over at the Journal Sentinel by Craig Gilbert talking about three decades worth of election trends in an area of society that you're familiar with, the suburbs. Suburbia. And so, Will, let's share it with the people, the story over at the Journal Sentinel.
Oh, reading from the beginning of the story, as the gap between urban and rural America widens, the most contested turf in swing state elections can be found in the suburbs. Consider Wisconsin, where the outcomes of next year's presidential race may hinge on whether Republicans can stem 8 years of suburban decline at the polls. The fight for Wisconsin suburbs is often told through the Republican-leaning WOW counties outside of Milwaukee, Waukesha, Ozaukee, Washington, but the story is much bigger than that. It proceeds to dive into some of the numbers behind some of these communities. Those who are familiar with the show are well aware that that is my neck of the woods, the WOW counties. I am in Washington County, one of the most conservative counties in the state, unfortunately. But progress is being made, and some of the data, Luke, that this article presents is astounding. Going back about 25-ish years, so starting in 2000. I'll use Washington as the example because it was the most conservative of all the listed counties, including Ozaukee and Waukesha, was about 37, 38 points conservative in 2000. This expanded exponentially in 2010, 12, and 14 down to about 52, 53 points. Well, in 2022, this most recent election, it was back to about 37. So where these shifts are occurring is not just in statistically safe conservative WOW counties. Washington, Ozaukee, and Waukesha have all leaned more Democrat, but the Green Bay Appleton area has gone further Democrat. Milwaukee County, which generally leaned Democrat, but has now gone significantly Democrat. Dane County, obviously, and Milwaukee County's north side, which I think was a fantastic example of this suburban shift, went 3 points conservative in 2000, right? In 2022, 46 points Democrat. That's almost a 50-point swing. Mm-hmm. That is astounding, astounding numbers. Is there a reason for this besides the Republican Party's lurch to the right? I don't know. The article touches on a number of potential reasons, but I think, and you touched on this from the get-go, it's a lot easier to predict the future if you can recognize trends from the past, right?
Yep. Which is why you see political scientists, pollsters, everybody involved in looking to predict where we go next, looking at the past trends to be able to help build those models and build those predictions.
Mm-hmm.
And so it one of the interesting takeaways that I saw from the Gilbert article over at the Journal Sentinel, he lists several different takeaways, but despite their differences, most of the suburban areas have moved in the same direction since the 2014 election, away from the Republican Party. So that's mm-hmm. not just the conservative Washington County and the liberal Dane County. It is a trend across suburban areas moving away from the Republican Party when it comes to elections since 2014. The shift has been very small in some places and very big in others, Gilbert notes. Ozaukee gave Republicans a 41-point margin in the 2014 governor's race, then shrank to 11 points in 2022. The suburbs of northern Milwaukee County voted for Republican president, as you pointed out, 3 points, and that 50-point gap since then in the northern portion of Milwaukee County. So the trend's not just happening in Milwaukee with that 50-point trend. It's happening across even the conservative suburban, or historically conservative suburban areas of the state.
And these areas of the state have been not only safe, and you know, 11 points is still relatively safe, but you hear a lot that, particularly from Republican operatives, that if they want to be able to compete, they have to run up their numbers in these conservative rural and or suburban counties to kind of match the overpowering people power of large communities like Madison or Milwaukee. Well, when you're winning by 40 points in some of these, you know, Ozaki type communities, that's a pretty major difference. If you're only winning by 11 points, that is not, that is minute. Right. And is it because, you know, young families are starting to move out here and younger people tend to lean more Democrat? Is it because the party itself, the Republican Party itself, has just gone off the rails and people are recognizing that? It's probably a combination, a little bit of all of the above. But at the same time, as we have now noted for the third time, these trends matter because they will dictate future races, future elections, and the political representatives that we have going forward. You would think that the powers that be would recognize these trends themselves and maybe self-reflect, take a look in the mirror and say, huh, why are we losing popularity in our former strongholds? Could it be anything that we're doing? But very much like the Principal Skinner meme from The Simpsons, they seem to be saying, no, it's the voters who are wrong.
Yes. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. If you want to share a tangent with Will and I on a Wednesday afternoon, 844-967-2789. And the other important takeaway is, yes, because these past trends help predict the future. But also, Will, we are a state that has had razor-thin margins. We are a purple state. Any little difference, like the past gubernatorial election in 2022, not the best example. About more than a 3-point win for incumbent Democratic Governor Tony Evers. But in 2018, when it was then Walker versus Evers, it was a razor-thin margin. In 2020, we saw a razor-thin margin between now President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump. It was a razor-thin margin in 2016 as well for Trump versus former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. And so it is an insane margin, and any little change on the perimeters of those margins can make the biggest difference. So when you're looking at these areas of impact in a swing state like Wisconsin, seeing these trends across the suburbs, that's got to be, they're important. So that's why we're talking about them.
Gilbert notes that too, Luke. Democratic Joe Biden's victory, there was nearly a 50,000 vote swing against Trump from 16 to 2020 in these eight areas. Trump lost statewide by about 20,000 votes. There was an 80,000 vote swing from Walker to Evers between 14 and 18 in these eight suburban areas. Walker lost statewide by less than 30,000 votes. That could have determined both the 2018 gubernatorial as well as the 2020 presidential election.
Yeah. Folks, share a tangent with us on this Wednesday afternoon. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. 844-967-2789. We'll get to those phone calls and some more headlines when we get back.
There are special days in May. Mother's Day is huge. Thanks to all the moms. Then Armed Forces Day. We appreciate our servicemen and women. May wraps up with Memorial Day, when we remember and thank those who sacrificed for our country. Thank you from everyone at Crockett Septic. May might be a month where you have a special event and need a porta potty. Or maybe your county septic reminder card came in the mail this month and you need it pumped. Just give Crockett Septic a call and we'll help you out. Call 715-712-345.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Hold the tanks and septics pump right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whip. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
If you're a motorist of the four-wheel variety, please watch out for those of us in Wisconsin who do their traveling on two wheels. Adjust your mirrors to reduce your blind spots. Allow motorcyclists a full lane width. Use your turn signal when merging or changing lanes. And allow more following distance between you and the motorcycle. Motorists and motorcyclists can work together to achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roads. Zero in Wisconsin. Together we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Winds out of the southeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour.
Mainly sunny skies again tomorrow. Highs level off around 77. Slight chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow night. 55. Cloudy skies. Upper 60s Friday and Saturday with scattered showers both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 72 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Yeah, yeah, feeling good on a Wednesday. Sparkling thoughts, give me the hope to go on.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. You can join us on the phone line in this final segment, 844-967-2789. Will, I almost forgot to mention, you know, as we kicked off the show, talking about, well, what do Republican lawmakers stand for? They claim to stand for election integrity. They want to restore faith in our electoral process. But we got
they also claim to want to stand for small government, but then they want to cut revenue sharing amongst all of the communities in the state of Wisconsin. So
yeah, well, they're just offering a smaller proposal than Evers, while similarly calling their proposal the largest ever investment in local municipal governments. So it's a weird mantra that they take when it comes to some of those approaches. But I almost forgot to mention another specific example that I saw break over the last 24 hours. But your neck of the woods, Dan Knodel. Now, don't know when the swearing-in process is. Is he officially a member of the state Senate?
He is. He is. As of a couple days ago, maybe four, might have been end of last week, would be my guess.
Okay.
I know it already happened. Let's
okay.
That way.
And now in those official capacities, Dan Knodel, a former member of the state assembly that is now a member of the state Senate after the results of the April 4th election. Dan Knodel will now chair the Senate committee responsible for overseeing elections in Wisconsin. Will, but conveniently enough, he was one of those Republican lawmakers that signed a letter back in 2020 and 2021 encouraging then Vice President Mike Pence to, you know, just throw out those electoral votes for Wisconsin, just to, you know, reelect Donald Trump through the process that was before Congress on January 6th. So the
How
same
freakishly coincidental, Luke.
Yeah, it's a weird theme again that we're experiencing from our lawmakers here in Wisconsin and Republican lawmakers around the country. And so Dan Knodel, in that trend of individuals that will now be tasked with overseeing our elections in the state Senate, was a member of the Wisconsin legislature.
Despite having previously rejected our elections.
Yes. Yes. All for election integrity. Unless they don't like the outcome of that election, then they're going to do everything they possibly can, including commit crimes, to overturn the election results. Oh, my gosh. How did I almost forget that example? See, it would have been a terrible Wednesday. I wouldn't have brought your news from your neck of the woods here in Wisconsin about that one. Folks, you could share a tangent with us on this Wednesday still. You can be like our friend Joe here in Madison. Joe, what's on your mind this Wednesday afternoon?
A great show, you guys. Knodel sure sums up that Republican approach, isn't it? Integrity. What does the word mean? That is a question. Integrity means what I want it to mean. So, you know, we're so far away from the truth. It's really a very interesting time when we watch our Republicans in action. You had used in the previous half hour the expression no shame, you know, that we are without shame anymore. I'd like to also bring up another phrase that I think really ties in these days, and that is the expression of pathological liars. And I think all of us have had the experience of having pathological liars in our life, whether it be that, the person that you work with, sadly, or a neighbor or somebody in the family who will just lie their pants off as they watch you, you know, as they talk to you. And I would offer as an example the all-time winner, which would be Trump. And they said the Washington Post, I think, lodged over 35,000 lies within office from our president. So perhaps it's not surprising that the Republicans that trail after him are of the same ilk. And I would offer as another approach to look at this, you referred to Tom Tiffany possibly sticking his toe in the water to run against Senator Baldwin for our state Senate, or excuse me, for U.S. Senate in the next upcoming election.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell people that he was a guy that, again, voted to junk the election results in Arizona and Pennsylvania. Just turn them over.
Yeah, you know? And he was more than willing to, had they got to the Wisconsin part before the insurrection where Trump supporters attacked the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, I fully believe that Tom Tiffany would have objected to Wisconsin's electoral votes as well. And so, yeah, it's absolutely, again, just par for the course, and we really appreciate your phone call, Joe. But these trends, this is a major talking point for us here on Dueling Tangents. We have to be calling it out. You have to be having these discussions and say for individuals in your life when they're like, oh, well, yeah, it doesn't seem that bad. You have to be able to point out these circumstances and show them when they say, oh, well, I like to vote for Republicans because Republicans are for securing our elections. It is important to point out the examples that, well, when the rubber meets the road, they don't actually fund initiatives to secure our elections here in Wisconsin. When it comes to hiring staff around a congressional committee that they oversee as a member of Congress, they hire campaigners that work to overturn the election. When they now chair state Senate committees responsible for overseeing elections, they are the same individuals that signed on to a letter encouraging the vice president at the time to overturn and throw out the will of the people, overturn the election, and appoint President Trump to a second term. And it needs to
be
pointed
out. Actions speak louder than words, Luke.
Yes, it absolutely needs to be pointed out. We appreciate your phone call and your contribution today, Joe. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. If you miss any portion of the show, you're going to want to check out the podcast. Again, where you can find those, wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. You can also go to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. We're going to have a big show tomorrow. We're going to be giving away 4 tickets to Friday night's Brewers game, which you can listen to across several different Civic Media radio stations. Our flagship station for the Milwaukee Brewers, WISS Oshkosh Air Support in Oshkosh in the Fox Valley, and our friends out in Richland Center, WRCE News from the center. We're going to be giving away 4 tickets on tomorrow's show for Friday night's game against the Kansas City Royals. So the crew's going to have the day off. They unfortunately look like they fell to the LA Dodgers, losing today, but going to have the day off tomorrow. But you can tune in tomorrow to win some tickets for Friday evening's game. It's going to be a 7:10 first pitch hosting the Kansas City Royals. And Will, it's just something. I have a feeling we're going to dive a little bit more into this Shameless thing, like you pointed out as well. Because,
well, you know what I can't get off my mind, Luke, is the doublespeak of, I think this was the best example, alternative facts.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
That is something that I would have expected to see written word for word in some type of Orwellian fiction in the past, because it was such a perfect encapsulation of, we are lying to your face but refusing to admit it, so we're just going to instead say it's the alternative truth. Like, and people bought it.
Yeah.
It was brilliant marketing, but people bought it.
Kellyanne Conway sold that one to the press very well. And alternative facts are what a lot of folks use. But, you know, we've also got individuals that are just using this shameless approach. And I'm going to dive into, we've got another saga of the Clarence Thomas, Harlan Crow, U.S. Judiciary Committee in the Senate. So we're going to dive into that tomorrow as well, as giving away 4 tickets to Friday evening's Brewers game. You're going to want to stay tuned to Dueling Tangents. Tune back in 2 o'clock tomorrow across the Civic Media Network. Folks, it's been a terrific show. Really appreciate you joining me on this Wednesday, Will. We're going to be back tomorrow at 2, and we'll talk to you all then.
Peace out, party people.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is